We were talking to you, Mrs. Mills, about your education, and you went to Texas, University of Texas, did you say?
Uh-huh.
Did you say it was the University of Texas you went to also?
Yes, I went there. I went to West Texas State Normal College at Canyon, and then I went 2 summers at the University of Texas. And that's my education.
Did you teach in Texas before you came here?
Yes. I taught 1 year in Plainview, Texas, and I taught 4 years in Rawls, Texas, and I taught 1 year in between Eastland and Ranger. What was the name of that place? Well, I taught for 7 years before I came here.
Mm-hmm. And when you came here then in 1926, were you weren't the only teacher at that time, were you?
No, there was Mr. Clifton and Mrs. Kelsey, John Kelsey's mother, and Miss Brown and myself, just 4 teachers.
And how many students about in the school?
Well, I don't know, maybe.
Well, these apparently with 4 teachers, it had to be bigger than in 1903.
Yes, that's right, too. I couldn't tell you exactly how many there were. Well, I'd say 50 anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd say probably 60 or 70.
Yeah, maybe. Somewhere along there somewhere.
So the town had grown then?
Yes.
By the time you were there. Mm-hmm. And what was your maiden name?
History and English were my courses.
Oh, your major in school was history and English.
Yes.
But what was your name before you were married to Mr. Mills?
Sanderson.
Sanderson. S-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N.
So in 1926, there was Mr. Clifton, Mrs. Kelsey, Miss Brown, and Miss Sanderson.
Yes, Miss Sanderson.
And Mr. Mills, you said that Dr. Charles Bunnell was one of your teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, you said, you think it was the fourth or fifth grade, or?
Well, I was in the seventh grade at that time, because I know he told me if I'd take my books home, I was all alone in the seventh grade. If I'd take my books home and study, why, I could probably take the eighth grade work after the Christmas holidays. So I did a little homework, not too much, of course. And when we went back after Christmas holidays, I went ahead with the eighth grade work. And examination, I was the only one in the eighth grade that passed the mathematics test.
Did the rest of them pass the eighth grade?
Well, the rest in the eighth grade didn't quite make it. They had to take a second examination.
But they graduated him, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you came to Valdez, Mrs. Mills, in 1926, describe what the town looked like to you when you came in.
Oh, we were just delighted with it. We got in at 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, on the last of steam. And Truck Egan was the taxi driver, and he brought us up to the hotel, 90 to nothing, and we spent the night there. And then we, the next day, Miss Brown and I found a place to stay.
Was she traveling with you, or did you just meet
her
on the boat?
I met her on the boat. She was from the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And she was coming as a teacher in the intermediate grade.
The two of you met on the boat then?
Yes, we met on the boat.
And then did you live together?
We lived together for a year. And then she was married, and then I roomed and boarded with Mrs. Whitley. And then in 28, Juan and Nancy were married. That ended that.
That ended your teaching career.
Yeah. That
Did you ever teach after that?
Oh,
substitute?
Yeah.
Or?
Yes. I taught 2 more years after we were married.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became postmaster.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And were you postmaster for a while?
Did I what?
Were you postmaster for a
yeah,
long time?
Yeah, I was postmaster for 30 years.
For 30 years?
Uh-huh.
So, you said you taught 2 more years and then became postmaster.
And became postmaster in 32.
32.
And then I retired in 62. Just before the earthquake.
Just before the earthquake.
Not too long before.
Well, at the time of the earthquake, you were not retired from.
Oh, no.
You
no.
were still tinkering around with the telephones, weren't you?
Yeah.
Like our telephone.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week at that.
Yeah. I don't think you'll ever retire.
Yeah, that's right too.
It's quite a rainstorm we're having.
Yeah, it's been raining right down, this? Isn't it? We've had that for a week now.
Mm-hmm.
We had 2 days of sunshine, and then by golly, it rained. It's been raining hard.
When it rains here, it rains in earnest.
Yes. Well, you can hear it on the roof too, yeah. And that makes it.
Yeah, when you have a lot of open roof.
Yes.
Otherwise, you might not notice it.
Yeah, that's true too.
Well, Mr. Mills, how did you get into the electric and telephone business? Was that handed to you down from your father, or did you get into it yourself? Or?
Well, I had worked with the telephone company off and on when I was still a kid, you know, mm-hmm. kind of helping. And then I had the Ford agency, and the power got down to where it wasn't dependable anymore. And electric welding was coming in, and I couldn't get any power to run electric welders, so I put in my own generator to run that. Then later the power got down, still worse, and I was induced to run a line down to when the new school building was put up. They put in oil heat in that. And I had to have electricity to run that, and I used to furnish emergency power for that. Well, it got to finally so it was no longer emergency, it was all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then other business houses in town wanted to be hooked in, and you just build on up until.
So you were in the electricity business?
Finally, the courthouse insisted that I bid on their services. And when I got that, why then I was in business all the time.
So what happened to the electric company?
Well, they furnished a little power here during World War II, but after that was over, why they just went out of business, mm-hmm. because their equipment was too run down, and there wasn't water enough there to supply the new demands, and so there wasn't any point in trying to develop it up again.
So you just kind of grew into your electrical distribution business.
So
in the valley. Just
finally got a franchise for operation, and then mm-hmm. after the war we put in a new telephone system. In fact, we had the first, Fairbanks and Valleys had the first privately owned automatic systems in Alaska, and we both went into business about the same time.
That must have been when the NC company owned the phone system in Fairbanks.
Because we had automatic electric here, and that's what they had in Fairbanks. And when the installer came down from Fairbanks, he checked mine. I was already in operation.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, prior to that, it had all been Army automatics. You know, mm-hmm. all the Army. New Army posts had automatic systems, but all the older ones were the old crank and holler.
Yeah, crank and holler. I noticed over in Dawson and over in Circle area, too, there are quite a few of those old phones that people have kept as relics of the
mm-hmm.
past.
Uh-huh.
They still crank and ring, but of course there's nothing to talk to hear, but it's kind of fun to stand there and play with them.
Yeah.
Well, you had the Ford agency, When did you get into the automobile business?
I started driving for Al White in 13 when he bought the car from Bobby Sheldon that he drove down from Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 15 I took on the Ford agency.
You were driving the car just around town as a taxi service?
Yeah,
or?
For taxi service.
I see.
And then in 15 I took on the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with that until World War II. Of course, you couldn't get any parts or anything then. And after World War II, I was already in the power business then, so I got rid of the agency.
Do you still have any old Fords around Valdez, some of the old vintage cars?
Yes. My nephew just got through rebuilding a 1930 model coupe.
Oh, good.
And he's got that all dialed up pretty. I've got a 26 truck that we made into a chemical for the city. And I've got pieces of Model T's around. And I got a 32 AA that we use for a wrecker.
Are there enough remaining of the vehicles so they could be restored?
Oh, I can restore those, yeah.
We have in Fairbanks the Horseless Carriage Club, and there's quite a lot of interest in old automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good hobby for these people, but it's also a very good investment.
Yeah.
And it's a good wintertime project to restore an automobile. And they've got some, maybe you've seen them, maybe you've been in Fairbanks at Golden Days time when most of
yeah,
them
Yeah, we out. Did. We saw them.
They have some marvelous vehicles there.
Mm-hmm.
This one I was just thinking of is a 1927 Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was purchased outside and brought up. I didn't see its first days in Fairbanks. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a brand new Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very beautiful old cars.
Well, I've got all the old fire equipment that the city had. The old hand pump, the old horse-drawn steam fire pump.
Yes, sir.
Even got the old bell. Weighs about 2,500 pounds.
What do you plan to do with that eventually?
Well, I'm going to rebuild it all.
Rebuild it all? After you finish your house?
We'll finish the house now, so
that
won't be much of a project till spring because I don't have any heat in the warehouse. And we're trying to get rid of all our excess stuff that we had left over from our light and telephone days. And then we'll have a little room in there.
Where is your warehouse? Down in the main town?
Down west of the power plant.
Here in Valley.
That Quonset-shaped metal building.
See.
It's 40 by 100 feet, and it's got an overflow.
Well, I'm glad that someone was able to salvage
I've got,
a few of those things. Otherwise, they would have gone in the junkyard.
Yeah, that's right.
Asher.
You know, I've got the bars that were in the Penzone at the time
you
of the
do?
Earthquake.
I
that
was
came from Frisco
that.
After the earthquake.
Good
after
for
the
you.
Frisco earthquake.
They went through the Frisco earthquake and then they went through this earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And you got them.
I've got them.
Good for you. We won't tell Asher. I wondered about that. I was in the Penzone a couple of times many years ago when my husband and I were first married and about 1950 or 51, something like that. And that's many years ago to me. it didn't seem too ornate, you know, the bar itself didn't seem too ornate, but I remember it was a real...
Well, those back bars were very ornate.
The back bar was, The glass, and, and you managed to...
Some of the glass is broken, but that can always be replaced.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that somebody who values it has it.
Well,
I was afraid when
Chuck Egan is still here too, you know.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I normally stop in and see him every time I come.
He's not too well, but he runs a shift there at the store where they sell liquor.
Mm-hmm.
He and his sister
run the liquor store.
Yeah. I forgot her name. Could you tell me?
Alice Horton is her name.
I know it, but.
Uh-huh.
When you don't come to Valdez for 3 or 4 years, and you forget.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, we go downtown once in a while to see somebody we know.
Well, very few people here we know.
There's so many people here that know us, but we don't know.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you their name. Their faces are familiar, but...
Are there any people living in Valdez right now, other than your sister, of course, who were here when you came in 1903?
No.
You and your sister were the only ones who were... Are there any others who came to Valdez about that time, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there?
Well, Bob Kelsey, but he's dead.
Bob Kelsey, John's dad, was here at the time I came, but he's been long gone.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And he was the last one that there was people here then that they moved out, and I don't know where they went to. Mm-hmm. They're probably still living somewhere.
I think there's quite a few up in the interior. Not quite a few, because quite a few of them have died, but... a lot of them moved up into the interior and scattered all over the countryside.
Yeah.
Some of them are settled back in the bigger cities now.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, when Fairbanks, the gold was struck in Fairbanks, or found, you know, there in Fairbanks in 1904, do you remember quite a bit of traffic going through here?
Oh, there was lots of traffic. They brought through a lot of Hindus, you know. I remember those because they all had those...
Turbans? Is that right?
Yeah, they walked over the road.
And they went up to work
They worked in the mines in Fairbanks.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. There was
I knew that there were a lot of foreigners that come in. I never heard of Hindus.
Hundreds of them. Well, they were all from India.
Where'd they eventually go, back to India?
Well, some of them probably still stayed around Fairbanks. And a lot of them probably went back.
That's the first time I'd heard that.
No, I remember that because they know could talk in the English and on.
Well, I've heard of Norwegians and Swedes and Yugoslavs and Serbians and Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few Russians have come over. Then they get into a town like Fairbanks and they kind of seek each other out because of the language barriers.
Yes.
But this is the first time I've heard of Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably some of them stayed up there.
Yeah. Well, then they could have been, that's 1904 and 5, that's quite a while ago, they could have been assimilated into the Indian culture there.
That's right.
Even knowing it.
Well, there's a young fellow now working at Wyatt's from India, but he speaks English. He goes to the University of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And
but he doesn't sometimes quite comprehend
what
it all means.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, anyone whose English, if English is a second language to you, you and I and Mrs. Meals are sitting here and talking, you know, at our normal speed. It's very rapid to a foreign speaker.
That's right.
And until you get your ear tuned to it.
Uh-huh.
I learned that last summer. I was telling you earlier, I went to Vermont and I was studying Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very difficult language to learn, but they made us... learn it at the speed. Any practice that we had, or any listening practice we had in our language lab, was at normal speaking speed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have to tune your ear to it. You have to listen for it. And by the end of the summer, I was hearing it.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty tough.
We had a lot of Japanese here this summer.
Visitors?
Tours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, around the coffee shop in the Westward, you'd get... good variety. You get Japanese, you get French, you get Scandinavian, German.
But lots of Japs.
Maybe you'd have one table of one of the other, and you'd be 3 or 4 different languages going on.
Oh,
the same.
Yeah. Well, they have, I don't know how many planes they have flying over the polar route now, but the last I heard, Japan Airlines alone had about 60 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or over 60 a week sometimes. They have freight flights, too, that go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of crew changes in Anchorage.
You betcha.
You know, when you stop to think of every aircraft that stops there to fuel gets a new crew. So there's a crew change.
Mm-hmm.
There's constant change. So there's Lufthansa and BOAC and Air France.
British.
Japan Airlines and I don't know who all. Mm-hmm. Pan American. You name it.
Yeah.
Well... to get back to the Fairbanks stampede, or I guess you'd call it, that was a stampede to the Fairbanks area. They took a lot of gold out of that region.
Oh, yeah.
Was there Did the town of Valdez grow quite a bit at that time to service these people that came in?
They used to bring a boatload of cattle in, you know. I say a boatload, whatever the small hold would carry in addition to the other freight. And they drive those cattle overland to Fairbanks.
To Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the people who brought cattle?
Helcher used to.
Helcher?
Helcher's dad used to drive cattle through.
Mm-hmm. Is he here in Valdez?
I don't know where the boy is now.
Yeah. What was his first name?
I couldn't tell you.
But he lived here in Valdez?
No. Yeah. His dad, I believe, lived in Fairbanks, and they'd come down here and pick the cattle up and drive them.
You know Charlie Creamer in Fairbanks?
Who?
Charlie Creamer at Creamer's Dairy for years and years and years. I talked to him not too long ago, and he's at the Pioneer Home. He came up, most of his work was with horses and cattle all mm-hmm. of his life. And he bought the Hinckley Dairy out, and then he had that dairy there for years and years and years. And he told me one time about going to the Tanana River down by Delta, where he met a herd of cattle coming up from Valdez, and then he helped herd them back to Fairbanks.
Hmm.
And there was an Englishman who was a cook with his crew. There were, I don't know how many herders there were, but there were Charlie and one of his partners from Fairbanks came down, and they met two herders and then this English cook. And they were waiting on that side of the river, and probably cows were coming across. Well, this English cook was on his horse, and they were swimming it across the river. And Charlie said, right in the middle of the Tanana River, the horse decided he had enough of this, so he just lay over his side and dumped this Englishman off and this cook off in the middle of the river. So he was naturally, you know, he would have drowned in that river.
Well, yeah.
So he just reached for the closest thing he could find, and that was a cow's tail. And he said he just hung on like this with both hands, and that cow pulled him clear across the river.
Well,
otherwise he would have drowned. He said they'd laughed about it, but it was, you know, it's a serious
saved thing. His life.
But it saved his life.
Well, yeah.
So I said, well, what happened to the horse? And he said, oh, he got back up, started swimming.
Well, they didn't have to worry about any automobile traffic, you know.
No, don't suppose so.
So anything they met would be another horse, you see, and but I know I've got pictures I took as a kid of the yards down there where they had the cattle corralled.
Mm-hmm. Well, at that time, that was about 19, Fairbanks was discovered in 1902.
Mm-hmm.
So the traffic in over the Valdez Trail then probably started immediately.
Yeah, but there was quite a little traffic that first spring, but I believe the heavy traffic was 1904 and 5.
Mm-hmm. So in 1904 and 5, when the heavy traffic was going over, was there a wagon trail by then?
No, they were using winter trails. They can go up through Keystone Canyon on the ice.
I see.
Then over Thompson Pass.
Well, when did we get a summer trail? When was the summer trail built?
Well, the first one suitable for automobile traffic was in 13, but they were using wagons to a certain extent, probably around 1910,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little earlier in spots.
Do you remember the first automobile that made the trip from between Valdez and Fairbanks, or Fairbanks and Valdez?
Well, Fairbanks to Valdez, yeah, Bobby Sheldon. Model T. Then he sold the car in Valdez, at a profit, knowing Bob. And then he went, I don't know whether he went back to Fairbanks then or on outside at that time. But Al White had that car for 2 years, and I drove it for him as a taxi.
What, did it have a canopy over it, or was it enclosed?
The touring car. Put the top up when it rained.
And no sides?
Well, you had curtains you could put on if you wanted to.
Was that about 1913,
you think? That was 1913.
Bobby Sheldon just had his 90th birthday in June.
Well, for goodness sake.
His daughter in Fairbanks went down to the Claremont Hotel and had a birthday party for him.
Well,
of course, there are a lot of retired Fairbanks people, mm-hmm. or Alaskans, in the make the Claremont their home.
Mm-hmm. Is so, Bobby still in Fairbanks, or is he outside?
No, he's been staying at the Claremont Hotel in Seattle, mainly because his wife is so ill. She's been in ill health now for about 3 years.
Oh.
I don't think he's been back for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But this Model T that Bobby Sheldon drove down, he must have had it shipped in by riverboat and assembled. And you drove it 2 years as a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
So the first vehicle over the, what is now the Richardson, was one that then you drove it for 2 years down here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did you say you bought it from Al White then later?
I did.
Did you buy it from Al White?
No. I went into the Ford business and myself, and he eventually sold it to Harry Whitley, and it was converted into a delivery car.
You suppose there are parts of it around yet?
No. Bob told me he'd had a chance to pick up the engine at one time, but the fellow wanted more than he wanted to pay for it, so he didn't go through with the deal, and then it was eventually lost in the shuffle.
Well, there's a car in the museum in Fairbanks that Bobby Sheldon built himself.
Yeah, I saw that. He built that, I believe, down in the Haines or Skagway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just from drawings.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing that.
I should take that out and run it once in a while.
We should get Bobby Sheldon to come run it.
Yeah.
There'd be someone there in Fairbanks who could, you know, work on it and get it in running order.
Like the steam fire pump, I want to get it back in commission. Now I'm the only one around here that's ever worked on it.
Do you know George Shaw in Dawson? Who? George Shaw over in Dawson City?
No.
He has managed to salvage some of these precious old relics of the, you know, past. And he, with the help of some others, of course, managed to save the old fire engine from Dawson, and they restored it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. He takes care of it himself, and he has to paint it about every 2 years. But it's just beautiful. The old silver bell and silver parts are just as gleaming. And
well, this one here was in fine shape until they left it parked on the street one winter. Then they pushed snow against it, and they had a new man on the bulldozer, and he didn't know it was there.
Oh, dear.
So they messed it all up. I got to make a new wheel for it, and I got to bump out a lot of the trimmings around that was busted up. And, but
how old do you think that is?
That's 1907.
That's far, in your warehouse, too.
Mm-hmm. As far as I know, that is the only horse-drawn steam fire pump that ever came to Alaska.
Yeah.
Unless possibly there was one at Nome, I'm not too sure about mm-hmm. that.
If you ever have a garage sale, let me know.
Then I got the old hand pump that you maybe saw in your history books in the early days, you know, where they uh-huh. had 10 or 15 men lined up on each side and a man standing up like the bandmaster, you know. I've got that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got the Model T, T chemical that we made for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we mounted two hand-drawn tanks on that.
You have the Model T.
I've got that too.
Yeah.
That also got mixed up with a bulldozer.
You've got the makings of a really precious historical museum.
That's right.
And then I got
you just had time, you know. And
maybe you remember one time there was two stagecoaches sitting at Myers's.
At Myers?
Myers, yeah. Out in the open.
Between here and Fairbanks.
Myers
Between Sourdough and Paxson.
Oh, Myers Roadhouse. Yeah.
I got them.
Good for you. Well, I just feel better now after talking to you.
I know Doc Lispy got all burned up come down there when that fella we sent out to pick him up was loading them. So when he found out where they were going, well, that was okay.
It was okay, yeah. Well, he probably thought they'd end up in California.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's what he thought.
Probably would have. You can't tell.
Rooms in Valdez in the early days.
Horse-drawn...
What they call it, a low-boy van.
Oh, van.
Yeah. Two horses on them.
Oh, for freight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And between the time we moved the house and the week following, somebody stole three wheels off of them.
Oh, no.
I never could find the wheels.
Oh,